Let us turn again to the chapter of God's Word, which we read together in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 3, and let us consider verse 20. First Peter, chapter 3, and at verse 20. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waiting in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. Excuse me. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. Peter has been giving various practical instructions, focusing, for instance, on the relationship between wives and husbands, and the duty in particular of wives to be subject to their husbands. That, of course, must be a loving subjection on both sides. And the husbands are given directions also that they are to live in a respectful way with their wives. This, of course, is particularly within the context of Christian marriage. That's not to say that the requirements are any different for those who are unconverted. But he goes on to speak about suffering, that it is better to suffer for well-doing, that is, if it is the will of God that we should suffer, to suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. You see, if we suffer for evil-doing, then it's punishment. If we suffer for well-doing, it's persecution. We should have God's blessing with that. And more particularly, the comparison is drawn with Christ, who once suffered for sins, as the just one in the place of the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, Peter says. He was put to death in the flesh and quickened, made alive again by the Spirit. Now, that leads him on to a particular plane of thought, that reference to the atoning work of Christ. That by the Spirit, which I take there to mean the divine nature of Christ, because it is put against the flesh, that is Christ in his human nature. And according to his divine nature, he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. And these spirits in prison are identified as those who at one time were disobedient during the days of Noah. That Christ went and preached to them. And that is in the same way as Christ comes to preach to us, through a human instrument, that is. And at that time, Christ came to preach to the people of that generation through Noah. You would say it was Noah that was doing the preaching. Well, not so. But Noah was preaching with the authority of Christ. He was an ambassador for Christ. Just as today's ministers are preaching as Christ's ambassadors. Now, these spirits were now in prison. They were in a lost eternity. They were sent to a place of punishment, though they had heard Christ preach, just as you hear. In that sense that I've tried to explain, you hear Christ preaching. Now, They were disobedient. And that time is further described in these terms. When once the long-suffering, when at that time the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. The flood didn't come at once. There was a delay. Now, that delay had to do with the time that Noah needed to construct the ark. That is so. But God, in turning through particular in parts of his providence, may not just be, as it were, doing one thing at a time. He may have many things in mind. Here, in this providence, Noah needed a period of time, 120 years it would seem, to construct the ark. But there was another strand of providence in operation, and that was to give them, the people of that time, an opportunity to hear the word of God, to ponder over it, an opportunity to repent, an opportunity to turn from their sins. You see, it was God's long suffering. When once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, you see, while the ark was preparing, being prepared. And in that ark, a few souls were saved by water. A few souls, that's eight. And that's all a picture for us to ponder. And we'll try to do that just now. To ponder that picture of God's long suffering. And try to apply it to ourselves, the long suffering of God to ourselves, leaving people in this world, giving them further opportunities to hear the gospel. That's it. Why are you still spared? Still given sufficient health and strength to come and hear the word? Well, if you're still unconverted, you're to view it as God's long suffering to you. That's the view you're to take. God's long suffering. That God hasn't given you over yet. He hasn't sent you away to a lost eternity. The period of his long suffering for you is not finished. He's given you this opportunity in particular to hear Christ preaching. May I not use that expression? Look beyond the preacher you can see. That's not, he has no authority. It's the authority of Christ. Christ, in his long suffering, still speaking to you. Now, the context goes on to say that there's also in this, in the water through which Noah and his family were saved, because the ark floated on the water, but it also points to baptism. And there's a water there. And water saves. That water saves. Now, let us be careful, for many go away with the idea that baptism as such saves, that it's all a series of pictures. And the water in baptism is a symbol. It's a symbol of the putting away of the filth of, not of the filth of the flesh, but in other words, when the water is sprinkled on the person being baptized, it's not to wash away any dirt that might be on their skin. It's the spiritual washing that it is pointing to. which results in the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, he was delivered for our repentance. He was raised again for our justification. The work was finished, you see. Christ has gone into heaven. He is on the right hand of God. He has authority. Angels and authorities and powers are subject unto him, and so should we be. But to come to our text and to try to make 4 points in connection with it. First, an ark was being prepared. Second, some were saved. Third, the others perished. And fourth, it was a time of God's long suffering. First, there was an ark being prepared for the where everyone who would believe in God could be saved. Two, some were saved. Three, the others perished. Four, it was the time of God's long suffering. And as the Lord may be pleased to help us, we will try to say a little about each of these things in turn. First, an ark was being prepared. And we must remember that there was a time of judgment coming. God saw that the earth was corrupt, and he said to Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me." He was going to destroy all the people and the earth. Now you see, that was God's judgment because of sin. And we must bear in mind, it was because of very serious sin. The world must have been in a terrible state at that time. The world, or at least various parts of it, had been in a very fearful state through sin and gross sin since then. We could very easily be impressed with the seriousness of society and its rejection of God today. Now, I'm in no position to say how the state of things today compares with the state of things then. But, you see, God has said that he will never again destroy the earth with a flood. There will be the final destruction of the earth. And that's what we've got to bear in mind. That all sin deserves God's wrath and curse. All sin, our sin. There will be a judgment. There's a lost eternity. And we should think of that. That if our sins are not forgiven, if we do not find an ark, then there's a lost eternity before us. Now, one thing that is very prominent in this verse is, well, between this and the previous verse, is that they had a preacher. Perhaps in that time the people weren't spread around the earth very much, I don't know. But certainly those in Noah's vicinity would have heard Noah preach, Noah speaking and explaining to everyone that came in contact with him, likely, why he was building the ark. No doubt it was a source of endless curiosity and people asking him perhaps mocking questions. Are you still building the ark, Noah? There's no water come yet, no rain, no great rains yet. And you're still building the ark. And they would laugh away to themselves. Expect others hanging around with them would join in the laughter. And poor Noah, he would just have to take it. But Noah had a God to go to. And that was a wonderful thing for Noah. And it should be a wonderful thing if we know God to have it. There's one to whom we may go and pray in the most difficult of circumstances. But the point just now that I wish to emphasize is, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And very likely that particularly points to Noah speaking about the righteous judgment of God, that God was to send the flood in righteous judgment. Noah was to send the flood in righteous judgment. And we must bear that in mind as far as we are concerned ourselves, though there will come no flood again on the whole earth. Yet, God in his righteous judgment will bring every unbelieving sinner into what will be far worse than a flood. A flood of endless torment, oh, the awfulness. Now, you see, you have Christ coming to preach to you. Think of that. Christ coming to preach to you. Oh, you might be saying, if I was around when Christ was in the world, I would believe what he was saying, no doubt about it, but it's men that are preaching. I don't think that. There's something more. Christ is preaching. And how long have you been rejecting Christ? Christ's preaching, I mean, just now. How long have you been rejecting what you say? See, it's in God's providence. Providence of Christ in particular, who is ruling over everything, that whatever is said from this pulpit in particular is being said. It is, I trust, the gospel, the scriptural truth that has been proclaimed. Well, where does that come from? It comes from Christ. Christ is speaking. And you will have to answer to Christ at the end for how you have treated him and what he was saying. You will have to give account at last for how you have treated Christ and what he has been saying to you. Now, one thing that is proclaimed to you is this, that there's an ark. There's a provision. There's a way of safety. Just as Noah would say, if you will wait, yes, the flood will come. And if you will come into the ark, you will be saved. So the preaching that we are to bring to you, the preaching that Christ is sending to you, tells you that Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. You see, an ark has been prepared. Oh, that's a tremendous truth. It should be supremely welcome to you that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, that when we deserve to die, Christ died instead of sinners. Christ died instead, you see. That's at the center of the gospel. That Christ made provision. He died, the just one, the holy one, in the place of those who were condemned, the place of sinners like ourselves, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, Noah in effect was saying, come unto me, come to the ark that I am building, and you will be saved. And Christ says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Christ says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Christ is the ark, prepared by God himself, not by human activity, but prepared by God, to be an ark, where sinners might flee, that they might be saved. Yes. He shall see of the trouble of his soul and be satisfied. That's what was said of Christ. By his knowledge, the Lord was saying, shall my righteous servant justify many, but he shall bear their iniquity. Oh, there's the gospel. Christ was to die, Christ was to suffer, bearing the iniquity of many, that he might be an ark to which sinners might flee. And entering into the ark, they are saved, they are justified. Yes, he died, he rose again. And as Peter said, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior. To be an ark, he might have said, to receive sin. But the way he put it was this, to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance and forgiveness of sins. Go to him. There's forgiveness of sins in the ark. If you feel your sin at all, go to the ark. If you feel your need of repentance, go to the ark, go to Christ. Yes. And some did, although there were a few. That's our second point. They went to the ark, and they were saved. Wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. They were saved by water from the water, you could say. The water was the judgment of God for those who perished, and was the means of salvation for those who were saved. Yes. The Lord said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. And they went, and they were saved. Just so Christ is saying, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yes, that's what he's saying to you. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. See, he's persistent. I don't know how often Noah would have spoken to various individuals over a period of 120 years. How often that must have been. Well, God said to Noah, come into the ark. And Noah went. God spoke to Noah once, and he obeyed. As you have it in Hebrews 11, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Now, that's what's happened. You're being warned by God of things not seen as yet. You're being warned by God, not of a flood, but of an endless lost eternity. Being warned by God. You don't hear a direct voice from heaven, not a soul. But nonetheless, God is warning. He's warning you by the word he has written. It's God that's speaking through his Bible. God is speaking through the preaching that he has appointed. You're being warned of God. Noah obeyed. Even though it was of things not seen as yet. You see, it's faith that receives things not seen as yet. Faith receives as truth what we cannot see. We're to believe these things just because God has spoken. You see, if it was just one of us preach, you might well question what we say. How do you know? But if we say God is speaking, because we have the Bible, then you have to say, I must take that as truth. I must take the warnings about a lost eternity as truth. I must take the testimony about Christ as an ark as truth. And I must enter into that ark. I must go to Christ. I must not stay wandering about in a place of danger. And this is a place of danger. Who knows how soon a wave from eternity might sweep you away. Who knows how soon a wave from eternity might sweep you away. What's that wave from eternity? It's death. Might sweep you away. Oh well, is it not time to flee from the wrath to come? You see, Noah was warned. Noah obeyed. Noah believed. He was moved with fear. Now I'm sure that's not terror then. Though those who hear these things should be terrified. It's a fearful hardness when these things are spoken and people accept that they are true. It's a fearful hardness when people will not flee from the wrath to come. When people are not moved by these solemn truths. It's a fearful hardness. You see, we're to be afraid of hardness. We're not to accept our hardness complacently. See, God is speaking with all authority, and Noah believed. Noah entered into the ark. Noah obeyed. He had prepared an ark to the saving of his health. Well, God has made that preparation. God has given Christ Jesus to be the Savior of sinners. Noah obeyed, and we should follow in his steps, receiving the testimony of God concerning Jesus Christ. We're to receive that testimony. You see, it's the truth. Now we're told that Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. In other words, he was upright. Not to think of that, though. No doubt it's an Aedas word in English, but it has a different shade of meaning in English. It's a general uprightness. Noah walked with God. Now that's the kind of man that you're to find in the ark. That's what you should expect to see in the ark. That's how we should look. And those who are saved and walking with God, no doubt there are degrees of uprightness, but there's a fundamental uprightness. Walking according to God's law and seeking to walk with God. Seeking to have his favor, his fellowship. Wanting God to come with them, whatever they do, wherever they're going. And that seeking that God would keep them from going, for they would not have his blessing. Be asking for that. That God would keep you from going. Or engage in any activity where you would not have his blessing. Now that's involved in walking with God. That we wouldn't go or engage in any activity where we would not have his blessing. That he could not look favorably upon. That's to walk with God. Now you see, those who went into the ark were saved. Those who believe in Christ are saved. Those who trust in him as the one who provides safety. You see, Christ says, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now we need that safety. Death will not pluck believers out of Christ's hand. That wave from eternity that I mentioned, it will not wash anyone overboard who is truly trusting in Christ. Many a wave has been so strong and so high that it has washed people off ships into the sea. And there may be an unexpected wave, but no wave will wash a believer out of the ark. It cannot happen. You see, the window was, God shut the window. Where a waves or waves might have come in and done untold damage, God shut them in. Or God shut the door, it was. Well, there's something of that with the ark. The door is securely shut, as it were, from the outside, so that those who are in Christ are permanently saved. Those who are in Christ are permanently saved. Now, one thing we must look at is this. There were few. Few were saved. Eight, in fact. That was not many, in comparison with whatever the population of the world was at that time. Few were saved. You've got to say today, few are being saved. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, the Saviour said in his own time in this world. And few there be that find it. Few are finding it. Now, I'm not saying that there'll be few, and I believe that that was not what the Saviour meant, that they will always be few. That in every generation thus far, there have been few. And however few there may be in our time, we should be earnest to be among them. The fewness of the number of the saved in our time should not discourage us. It still holds true that whoever will come to Christ, he will in no wise cast out. Him that cometh unto me, that's the assurance he gives, I will in no wise cast out. It would have been the same at the ark. No one coming to the ark would have been turned away. I'm sure after Noah went in, the door was left open for quite some time to see if anybody else would come. Nobody came. And then the door was shut. They would just have laughed at daft Noah going into the ark. And there's not a drop of rain. We should be careful to get into the ark well before the rain starts to fall. In other words, now, before it is too late, before death comes, before death has any sign of coming. No sense in leaving it till we start to get frail, weak, and perhaps mind as well as body. That's not time to be seeking Christ. Oh, if it comes to that, by all means seek Christ. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out, will hold true then as at any other time. But it's not the time to choose. Few are finding Christ. But we should seek to be among them. And you see, there's that encouragement to those who do find Christ. Fear not, little flock. But it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. His good pleasure. Yes. To give you the kingdom, to give you the fullness of blessing that is promised to you in Christ. He will not deny it. If you are one of the few. Yes. Now, the next thing is, the others perished. Some were saved. They heard the voice of Christ. They came. The voice of God, perhaps I should say. Come into the ark. They were saved, but the others perished. Now, is that going to be repeated among us here? Some are saved, some are on the way to heaven. Think of yourself who are not on the way to heaven. Now, unless you will come to Christ, unless you will enter into this ark that I'm speaking about, which Noah's ark was a picture of, you too will perish. Is that how it's going to be? You see, it was a time of sin, as I've said already. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every thought and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, whatever degree of sin there might be in the unconverted, every imagination of the heart has sin in it. There's no holiness, no glorifying of God. And that's a solemn condition to be in. And you see, the wages of sin is death. Why did they perish in Noah's time? Because they were sinners. And sinners in particular, who rejected God and rejected God's offer. They heard Noah as a preacher of righteousness, and they ignored what he was saying. They did not believe what he was saying until it was too late. Until they had the evidence of their eyes. Very likely when the rain started, they said it's only an ordinary shower. They might even have marveled how heavily the rain fell. And they would have gone on with what they were doing. So only when the rain gathered in floods, when it wasn't getting away, when the level of water was rising, that we had realized Noah must have been right after all. And they perished. Oh, how many have gone into eternity saying it was right after all. We should have sought the Lord. What was being said was right after all. And people will mock at the idea of Noah's flood. They might say it's interesting enough for childhood, like other fairy tales are. But it's no fairy tale. See what the Savior says about it. See how he applies the matter, as basically we are trying to do. And of course, if we are right in what we are saying and in it, it's because we're taking it from the Word of God. And we're taking this from the Word of God. But see how the Savior puts it in particular. As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, it's not that these things were wrong. They had to eat. They had to drink. It was orderly for them to get married and to give their daughters in marriage. But, you see, the point is, that's all that was on their mind. And that's where they were wrong. It's not even the sinful activities that are referred to there. It's the ordinary activities of life, the good activities of life. But they had nothing else on their minds. It's not the way with yourself. You'll eat, you'll sleep, you'll drink. You'll do various things, you'll earn your living, tidy up about the house and so on. All sorts of activities I can mention. What's wrong with that? Nothing. Except for this. Leaving God out of it all. That's what's wrong with it. Leaving God out of the matter. Oh, think of that. Now, what about your own life? Has God any real place in your life? Could you very easily leave God out of your days? What about Wednesday or Thursday? What place did God have on these days? Did you pray? Did you ask Him to save your soul? Did you ask Him to prepare you for eternity? Well, that's the kind of life that were living before the flood and they perished. God was not in any of their thoughts. And if you go on like that, you too will perish. There's an ark, and you're going past the ark. There's an ark near you. Christ has been brought very near you. But if you ignore Him, you will perish. Now that's plain truth of the matter. You can let that go by. You can pass Christ by again today. You say there's no sign of death. What about the grey hairs? What about the lack of a spring in your step like there was when you were young? I could give any number of examples. You'd best placed to recognize what is happening in your own life. And you're passing Christ by. And therefore I have to say, if you go on like that, you will perish. You have, as it were, as I mentioned already, Christ preaching to you. Christ preached to the spirits that are now in prison. Christ preached through Noah. Christ has been preaching to you through many a preacher. And are you still staying away from the ark, not believing the real truth of what has been said before you? He that believeth on the Son of God hath eternal life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. In other words, they will perish. The wrath of God abideth on them. The wrath of God is against you already. But the Lord is holding it back in His long suffering. That's the fourth point, and we come on to that now. The Lord holding back His wrath in His long suffering. The sentence has been passed. But because God's long suffering is in place, He is willing to take back His wrath. He is holding it, as it were. The long suffering of God is a dam, holding back the wrath of God. When there's great force of water behind many dams, a real big dam, like you have at for a hydroelectric scheme. Many feet of water behind the dam, going back for hundreds of yards behind it, and if the dam was taken away, what a force of water would pour out. Well, the wrath of God is like that. The long suffering of God is a dam, holding back the wrath of God. And when death comes, the dam is removed. And all that force of wrath sweeps the sinner away at once to a lost eternity. What you need is for the water to be taken away. And then the dam will never break. The dam will never be removed. What do I mean by that? I mean that you would find a place in the ark, if that's not using it so completely a definite effect that one interferes with the other, but keep them a bit apart. Flee to the wrath of God, and that flee to the ark of God, and that will mean that the wrath of God will be removed altogether. It's as if in a moment all these tons of water behind the dam were evaporated away in an instant. And that's what happens when the sinner believes in Jesus. All the wrath of God is taken away and the sinner is saved. Yes. Now, one thing we have to bear in mind, and I implied that already, is there's a difference. There was a period of 120 years for the people of that time. When that came to an end, the flood would come and the ark would float away. We do not know in the time of our long suffering. God's long suffering to us would come to an end. There was a fixed, definite point made known to these people as to when the flood would come. We haven't been told that. God hasn't been pleased to tell us. What he's saying is, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord hath come. Now, if you're saying that really applies to the second coming of Christ, that may be so. But the same principle applies to death coming. The same principle. And he warns that if the householder had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered the house to be broken into. You see, if we knew that a thief was going to try and break into our house at such and such a time at night, we'd make sure we were awake and ready. We don't know that. The day of the Lord shall so come as the thief in the night. It's an idea that is used more than once in Scripture, so it's important. We should pay attention to it. Death may come unexpectedly, so we're to watch. We're to go to the ark where the door is still open. We're to look to Christ. We're to come to Christ while he is still receiving sinners. When will Christ stop receiving sinners? Well, we don't know. But he stops receiving sinners when they die. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. We're living in a time of God's long suffering because we're still alive. God is holding back his anger from those who are not believed. If sinners have entered into the ark, well, they're safe, and that's the end of it as far as that's concerned. All will be well. Though there'll be all the difficulties of this life, that's true. But eternity is sure, and God's blessing in time is sure. The Lord is asking, despisest thou? Not the word, despise. Despising God. And despising what he is doing in his kindness. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. See, we're experiencing God's goodness, His kindness, and His long suffering. And that is intended to lead us to repentance, giving us an opportunity to repent. That's a great matter, to turn from our sins and look to Christ. God is forbearing. He's not coming to us to punish us as yet, giving us this opportunity, and many an opportunity that we can't presume about the future. But we still have God's long-suffering, leaving us opportunities to hear His word, to hear preach, to hear the truth, to hear the invitations, to hear the call, come unto me all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But you see, it's this, strive to enter in at the straight gate. There's to be an effort made. Are you making any effort for the salvation of your soul? Are you? And you might remind me, it's all the work of Christ, that's so. Nothing that you do will deserve anything, but you're to be doing. That's the truth. You're to be doing. You're to be active. See the ark? Well, you're to go to it. Those that were hearing Noah, at the sign of rain, they went, should have asked themselves, is this the flood? And they might feel that they should keep an eye on Noah. Will Noah go into the ark? Well, I better get into the ark. Is Noah going into the ark? Well, I must go into the ark now. Do you see people near you? And they seem to have gone to the ark. Well, you should get into the ark. Because you might have a warrant. You might have a warrant. Apart from the fact that it's honouring to God and to Christ to go now. Now is the accepted time. Oh, hear these words. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions and all your iniquities, and make you a new heart and a right spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I am no pleasure in the death of him that died. Wherefore, turn and live. Turn and live. Turn from your sins and go to the ark, and you will be saved there. Turn from your sins and go to Christ. Call on him, draw me. And we will run after. Oh, do you say you do not know where Christ is? Well, search the Scriptures. But he is there. Search the Scriptures. Call upon him. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God. That he will abundantly pardon. There is an ark. There is a place of safety. Christ is that place of safety. And he is calling on you to come and to come without delay. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord. Bless us in what we have been endeavoring to consider. May it penetrate into our heart. Lord, bless the truth to us. May we feel the evil of sin, and of our sin in particular. And may we feel the evil of unbelief, and rejecting the Saviour, and carelessness about the ark that thou hast provided. May we value the ark. May we see the wonder of it. Pardon us, and bless us, and keep us, and deliver us from every evil way. Do us good. For Jesus' sake, amen.